Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the second chapter. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." Now, when King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with them. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. And they told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea. For so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. And then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out. And there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. They knelt down and paid him homage. And then opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. The Gospel of the Lord. Grace to you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, on this first Sunday of the brand new year 2020. I had planned in 2019 and how would you fill in the blank? Exercise 3 times a week? Get up every morning and read your Bible for 20 minutes. We had planned in 2019, and we fill in the blank. What plans did you have for 2019 that you have now moved forward to 2020 or have let go of? Sometimes it feels like we take 2 steps forward and go back 3 steps. That honey-do list at home or here at church, 3 tasks get crossed off, only to have 6 more added to the list. Thursday night, as we were watching the movie A Christmas Carol in the lounge, somebody came into the lounge and said, "Pastor, the toilet isn't flushing in the office." It had been 10 minutes earlier. 2 steps forward, only to go 3 steps backwards. On December 18th, my daughter Kimberly's Lutheran congregation in Walnut Creek, California, unanimously called a new lead pastor. The congregation was ecstatic. Their new pastor and his family would be moving from Nebraska to Walnut Creek, California, and today was to be a celebration and farewell for their full-time interim, Pastor Tim. Only something happened this week and changed everything. A letter was received from the pastor, I don't know his name, saying that he was not going to be able to come, not be able to accept the call. So today, instead of a celebration for their interim pastor and his wife as they leave, they are sitting down as a church family to figure out what happens next. Pastor Tim, their interim, has agreed to stay on as the congregation faces an unknown future again. two steps forward and three steps backward. Today, with the story of the three magi visiting Jesus, it feels like we are going backward, at least in terms of the gospel. Remember last week's gospel lesson about the massacre of the little children? Last week's gospel, Matthew lifted up Egypt as a place of refuge for Mary and Joseph and Jesus. And yet today, for Epiphany, we go back to the beginning of the story. It's kind of a backwards way of telling a story. This matter of time in Matthew's telling of the story makes it seem as if the events in chapter 2 happen day after day. In other words, in quick succession. However, there were actually weeks and, yes, years between the stories. Jesus must have been at least 2 years old during the end of Herod's reign. Otherwise, the despot would not have ordered the death of children under the age of 2. It took some time for the wise men and their entourage to travel east to reach Bethlehem. These wise men, or magi in Greek, originated from Persia. They were followers of Zoroastrianism, a belief system that was a precursor to Islam. And Matthew shows us in words how much fear and conflict and disease is present under the rule of Herod. Herod is frightened. There is a new king in town, and Jerusalem is just as frightened and terrified because of Herod's terrifying and tyrannical rule. Herod is at war with himself. He certainly does not greet the news of a newborn king with much joy, nor does he search for a gift to be presented to the Messiah. Rather, he is afraid. The one thing the powerful seek more than anything else is to remain in power. And gone from Herod and his court is any notion of servant leadership prescribed and required by Israel's prophets. Gone is the memory that God has placed them in their positions to serve rather than to be served. Herod seeks his own ends and so is immediately threatened by even the mere mention of another king, a rival king. Fear is a really powerful emotion. In response to fear, Herod, along with the chief priests and scribes, conspires to find the Messiah and to kill him. They did not succeed this time, but much later in the story, there will be an unholy alliance between the political and religious leaders of the day who will not only conspire against Jesus, but this time capture and crucify him. But what about us on this first Sunday of 2020? What does fear do to us? Do we install more security systems in our home and cars? Do we build more gates or buy more guns? Do we save even more for retirement, pulling back from charitable contributions? Do we close our hearts and our minds to those who are different from us? Do we hesitate to take two steps forward for fear of going three steps backwards? Matthew's version of the Nativity, which we do not read on Christmas Eve, moves very quickly from the glad moment of adoration and gifts of the Magi to a darker, more ambivalent world of political intrigue, deception, and fear, and induced violence. Matthew's account of the nativity is more somber than Luke's, which is why we read Luke on Christmas Eve. But it is also more realistic. What is at the heart of Matthew's account is the promise that this fear-riddled world is precisely the world that God came to in the form of a tiny baby. God came to people so consumed by fear that they often do unthinkable things to each other and themselves. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us, the living, breathing, vulnerable promise. God chose to come, to live and die for you and me as we are, so that in Christ's resurrection, we too might experience newness of life. Matthew's version of the birth of Jesus is painted with darker strokes than Luke's, precisely that we might perceive the glory and grace of God's redemption in Christ all the more clearly. Kind of like a bright star shining high in the heavens and leading us to greet our Savior and Lord. Matthew's gospel fits into our lives that so often feel like two steps forward and three steps backward. But the good news for all of us is that God's word made flesh, our Emmanuel, shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not and will not overcome it. Indeed, it will light our way. Amen.